it's Canzano. Thanks for making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe and leave us some feedback. Also, the podcast is brought to you by Multnomah Medical Clinic, dedicated to providing breakthrough, non-invasive, drug-free solutions to ED problems. Call Multnomah Medical Clinic at 503-899-4199 or visit them online at multnomahmedical.com.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. B-F-F-T. Live from the home studios presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with The Bald-Faced Truth.
Really excited about this next interview. Super excited about it. I've been interviewing the university presidents at Oregon and Oregon State. We had Michael Schill at Oregon on. We had F. King Alexander on the show as well. Oregon State's new president. Dr. Miles K. Davis has been at Linfield since July of 2018. He's got a PhD in human organizational sciences. I need to know what that's about. Human organizational scientist. Also, I know he's got a black belt. Do not mess with Dr. Davis. That's what I'm saying. How are you, sir?
I'm too blessed to be stressed. How you doing, John?
You're a veteran of the Navy. I have so much I want to talk to you about, but let's...
Before you talk to me about anything, John, I just have to congratulate us both on having the same barber, John.
I like that.
So we can both have the bald-headed truth come forward out of this conversation.
We got a lot of people walking around saying, it's been so long since I've had my hair cut, my hair. And I was like, oh, okay. That's one of the fringe benefits of you and I.
Get in the shower and take a razor. That's all you need.
That's it right there. let's go back, childhood. Did you grow up saying, I want to be president of a university one day, or when does that dream come into your head?
John, let me tell you something. This wasn't even a dream because my father got through ninth grade. My mother didn't make it through 12th grade. I'm a first-generation student. I had no idea what a university president did or what it entailed. I didn't even have a PhD. I heard you mentioning about my PhD. I had no idea what that was. It could be a pretty hard day in my neighborhood. So that's what a PhD was. It wasn't anything fancy. And quite frankly, my background, inner city Philadelphia background, and yes, I have to say this in this area, I am a diehard Eagles fan, and I can't believe they're about to become first an NFC East given their season, but we'll let that one go. I had no expectation I would be in the position that I'd be in, especially in the state that I'm in this position in.
At Linfield, like some other colleges and universities around the country, you have had to deal with 2020. What has that been like for you?
Well, you know, it's interesting because as in that great classic movie that talks about lions, tigers, and bears, I come to Oregon and we have pandemics, wildfires, and smoke. It's no expectation. It's crazy. But however, it is what it is. I mean, to coin a phrase, is that it becomes part of the landscape. Let's be clear. Anybody who understands epidemiology understands that a virus like this was bound to hit. This is not a new thing, and quite frankly, it's not even an unexpected thing. And so the question is, how do we adapt to this environment? So dealing with the pandemic has required us to rethink and given us the opportunity to rethink how we do things. Then add on top of that wildfires, add on top of that smoke. It has severely caused us to say, how do we approach this whole situation differently? Least of all, how do we approach education differently if we cannot do what we normally do? It just requires you to think differently outside the box, John.
Yeah, and your students, are they on campus? How much instruction can they get? What's your timeline?
So So this is interesting that you asked this question, because I've come to understand that there is no right decision. There are only better situations given your population. And one of the things that we keep talking about, John, is this idea that school is just about education. Let me be clear. We are the only place where a significant number of students receive health care. We're the only place where a significant number of students receive three meals a day. No matter how bad the dining hall food is, it is still three meals a day. Yep. We're the only place that we receive reliable internet connection. In fact, we may be the only place where they have access to the technology to access the internet. And so with that factored in, with our increase in first-generation students and underrepresented minorities, we decided it was in the best interest of our students to open and not go online, because online education, John, assumes a certain degree of privilege and resource that a significant number of our students just don't have.
Dr. Miles K. Davis, Linfield University president, is with us. Let's talk about the black belt. How did that happen?
Well, you know, it's that thing. My biggest competitor throughout my life has been myself. And I like to challenge myself. And I had a wonderful instructor, Sensei Williams. Sensei Williams, a former Marine, happens to be relevant to this conversation, African-American, went to Japan, learned, became a fifth Dan black belt, opened up a dojo. And I said, this is cool stuff. And so I wanted to learn to be better. I wanted to have the discipline not to beat up on people. You know, this is not a Cobra Kai mentality.
Right.
This is more of a Miyagi Do mentality about how to defend yourself and ward off the bad guys. And quite frankly, I found an incredible studio here in McMinnville that I'm joined working. Matter of fact, I just took a purple belt test last week, and I'm working on that with Open Hand Kempo. I like the ideal of staying active and staying busy. And one of the things that often happens to us as we get older, John, I know you don't have to worry about this, but I'm worried about it because I'm getting older, is that we stop being active. And quite frankly, the nature of my job, the presidency is a 24/7 job. And when I look at some presidents, they look like old men way before their time. And so you cannot serve people if you don't take care of yourself. And so for me, it's going to the gym and then doing martial arts. And quite frankly, it's really good to kick on things without getting arrested or breaking any bones. And so it works well for me to do and be involved with these things.
I noticed a couple of months ago, Linfield went from Linfield College to Linfield University.
Yes.
What went into that? How does that change things?
And so, and this is interesting because this was in place even before the pandemic struck. It's because we had to think differently. Linfield College has a glorious history, 162-year history. However, the challenge to small liberal arts institutions is that they have shrinking populations. So how do you offer programs that are relevant to people coming in? And then there was the other reality. We already had a school of nursing. We already had a significant number of our students who were studying business. So the pure liberal arts model wasn't really in place and has not been in place at Linfield for a number of years. And so I like to align reality and perception and says, let's shift to a university. Oh, by the way, the growing population is also in graduate education. And so there are people, so I looked at the demographics before I moved. I moved here from Virginia, and I looked at the demographics of who's moving into Oregon. For every one person that moves out of Oregon, 2.5 people are moving in. Now, a lot of people don't like that, but that's just the reality. I'm just reciting the numbers. Don't blame me. I'm just telling you what it is. And so what's also interesting is that those people are between 25 to 40. And so they're looking for additional education to advance their career. So we just launched the Master of Science in Nursing program, which is for people who are already working as nurses, but they want to learn more about how to be a nursing leader. And so there are people who want to continue to learn and grow and develop their skills. So being a university allows us to do these types of things, John, as opposed to just being a small liberal arts. We can become more comprehensive in what it is that we offer and serve and connect with the communities and Oregon employers about what they're looking for.
Dr. Miles K. Davis, Linfield University president, is our guest. You are the first black president at Linfield, 130-plus years of history. There have to have been some highs and lows in there.
Well, you know what? It's really interesting because let me be clear. I view racism as a disease. And I do have a doctorate, but I can't cure that disease. Mm-hmm. I don't let other people's problems and perceptions of my pigmentation be my problem, John, if that makes any sense to you. And so to come here, I wasn't hired to be the black president of Linfield. I was hired to be the president of Linfield. I have students who are black. I have students who are Asian. I have students who are Latinx. I have students who are white. I am there to be their president. Now, the challenge that I face is that there are those who don't understand that some of their reaction to me is not necessarily about me. It's about them. And so, yes, it is clear that there are people who are not used to having someone who looks like me in a position of authority or responsibility. But, John, that's not my problem. That's their problem because that is my position. And quite frankly, I have found a wonderful community here in Oregon. First of all, McMinnville is a very friendly town. I've spent time in Portland. I came from Virginia. There are people in Virginia who are still fighting the battle of Northern aggression. And so, yeah. So for the most part, I'm not dealing with that type of overt racism. There are subtle things, but there are wonderful people here who are doing all they can to embrace. You know, I was invited to a great diversity meeting in Portland. I've met a wide variety of folks, both of color as well as white people, these terms that we use to describe people. And it's been very opening, very, very open and receptive, including talking to you, John. It's great to have a chance to talk to people because you're talking to me. And, yes, it's part of my narrative, but you're not talking to me because I'm black. At least I hope you're not talking to me just because I'm black. I mean, that's part of what influences me. But you're talking to me because of the position I'm in and the challenges that institution faces. And so, and then in the roles that I've been able to be in and be involved with, the narrative makes me sympathetic to certain things, but it's not the only thing that defines me, if that makes any sense to you, John.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, because, you know, I think over history and sports, we have seen, like, Doug Williams in the Super Bowl comes as an example. He, you know, what is it like to be a black quarterback? And, you know, he's looking like that's the position he's in. You know, that's who he is. And how do you explain how you feel? But at the same time, you are the first. And I think that's an important thing to note. So how do we do that without making that the narrative on you know, your presidency?
You make sure that I'm not the last, John. And so and let me tell you how this plays out again. And so we just hired a new dean for our School of Business. She happens to be an African-American woman. She was unanimously selected by our faculty to lead them because she was the most qualified. What we need to get to in this country, which is why I love sports, by the way, and we can talk about sports. I know that you're a sports show, so I'm tuned into that, is that one of the opportunities that we have, you mentioned Doug Williams, who was actually treated pretty badly, and the Washington football team was a racist team for a long time, and we can talk about that. But the thing that I love about sports is that ideally, if I can run faster than you, if I have better hands to catch than you do, if I can dribble better than you do, if I can hit a ball and put it in a hole better than you can, that should be the only criteria that matters.
Right.
And so what I'm hoping that, you know, as you talk about my legacy or things being here, is that I come in and show up, is that, oh, he was the president, he was black, but there are so many other things that he did that stood outside of that. However, we have to create pathways for others. Somebody has to be the first guy with no hair to lead a show, you know. And then that becomes the first, but as more people with same situation do it, then it just stops being the narrative. Somebody has to be the first at some point, if that makes any sense.
Amen. Dr. Miles K. Davis is the president at Linfield University. The athletes on campus at Linfield, are they, I've been talking a lot about Portland State, University of Portland, and some inequity that's happened. There's a lot of frustration with the governor's office. What can Linfield University athletes currently do? And what is the prognosis, I guess, in the short term, long term for the athletics department?
So, John, let me tell you how happy I am to hear that you're actually talking to me because you talk to those other schools. But I want to remind you, first of all, that most students play for Division III schools. They do not play for Division I schools. You know this, John. Yeah. And then on top of that, Linfield has the winningest football season record in all of collegiate sports. So I want to emphasize that point. Now, having said that, we face different types of challenges. So the good and the bad about institutions like Linfield, and I can speak for a broader perspective because I work with the Lions, and I'm chair of the board of the Lions, and I'm happy to represent that with my incredible fellow presidents of what it is that we're doing, is that our students are playing not because they're getting scholarship money. And our decisions, as you've pointed out, our decisions are not based upon what TV revenue we're getting. Our students are playing for the love of the game. Yeah. And that produces a different level of enthusiasm and involvement, and it produces a different set of challenges, John. And so the thing is that they come here, and it's amazing in this country that students come to a college and university in order to continue their plan career. And at the D3 level, these students realize that they're for the most part, they're not going to go pro or anything. They just want to extend their plan time. They love the game. And I love watching D3 athletes play. And so our challenge is, how do we do that? I can't challenge the decisions that are made at the governmental level, but what we can do is provide an environment. So in the case of our football team, we have incredible coach like Coach Joe Smith, who is practicing. We're allowed to have minimal contact, but the kids are there. They're practicing and doing things. So whether it's our baseball team, whether it's our softball team, swim team, or any of our student athletes, what I'm finding out from them, what they are saying, John, is that they're just happy to be in community. Yeah. Because they love the sport. And even if they get to play intramural. So right now our baseball team is doing their own version of a World Series. We have a 60-roster baseball team. And so they're doing their own version of a World Series. There's the purple team. There's the red team. They're playing each other because they want to play. And, yes, it's wonderful to play for a trophy and play for competition, but it's the love of the game, which, quite frankly, my commentary on this is something that we seem to have gotten away from in professional athletes at times, is that it becomes more – when anything becomes about money – it becomes problematic as opposed to the love of the game. That's my commentary on that, John.
We've been talking a lot about how kids are not organizing themselves, not playing on playgrounds. And part of that, I think, is parents. We have filled up their lives with private lessons and coaching and,
oh my gosh,
you know, traveling, and there's no time left.
There's no time, John. So I have two older kids who were both Division I athletes. And everything is so structured. Not only is it structured, John, is that there isn't that chance for multiple athletics, which is quite frankly why I think we had see a rise in athletic injuries. Because when I played in the Stone Ages, when we played with leather helmets, you would do track and football, or you do multiple sports, and it allowed your body to develop in a different way. And so with the limitations that we place, and kids starting at 9, 10, 11, just focusing on one athlete, one sport, produces problems for them. And it is the parents, because everybody's looking for that scholarship. So I'm going to say this. I'm going to give your audience a secret, John, because you have such loyal listeners. I'm going to give them a secret that no one tells them, is that if you took all that money that you spent on all those private lessons and teaching them to do this, in order to get a scholarship, you would have the same amount of money in order to create your own scholarship.
That's right.
Don't tell anybody that. Share that with your audience. That's our secret.
Buy the S&P 500 each year instead of private lessons. Dr. Miles K. Davis, Linfield University president, is with us. All right, I got to ask you about this.
Yes.
We're in the middle of a pandemic. Yes. Linfield has put in the biggest video board in the country in Division III athletics.
Yes.
What is the story there?
Well, the story is this. You know, go big or go home, John. You know, the reality. But I tell you what, we do have the biggest scoreboard in all of D3. It's bigger than Brigham Young's University. But you know what? That was not done with university money. That was done by an incredible family, the Wright family, who has a vision for athletics. It precedes our vision to redo our whole football stadium. We also just did, and believe me, I'm a soccer purist, so this hurt my heart, but we pulled up the grass. This is the Pacific Northwest and putting in a new turf field. These are donors. It is incredible the commitment that our alum have to Linfield and Linfield Athletics. And they said, we want a Vita scoreboard. And we're putting a scoreboard up, as you said, in the time of the pandemic. We haven't even been able to use it and won't use it. But you know what, John? But this is representative of Linfield. There's the now that you have to deal with. But as you well know, you got to plan for the future. You know, we're going to come to dance with this one way or another. Yeah. Things are going to be turned to a point. So do you put your life on hold while you're doing that, or do you seize the moment? And our donor said, hey, look, we want to do this. So no university money, none of this didn't come out of operating fees, didn't come from students. These are from donors who said, we want this for this institution because we're celebrating this. And you know, and I'm not going to say no. We'll do the rest of the phases as we build out our stadium, as we add additional things in. We're about to also break ground on a brand new science building that the Keck Foundation has brought in for $10 million. The Evanstats have given us several million. We are doing things now to prepare for the future while there are those who are just dealing with the present. But it's like building a team, John. You know, you have to start recruiting early. You just can't show up on game day. You got to start recruiting early. We are going to be ready. When this breaks, Linfield is going to be out ahead of this.
1,800 square foot digital display.
Yes.
Let's put the World Series on there.
You know. My wife and I talk about this. It's sort of like having that 110-inch television in your studio apartment. It's sort of dominates the thing, but it's gorgeous. John, I invite you for the premiere game. Matter of fact, you get to sit in the president's seat. I'm going to invite you out to come in and see this. And so you'll see the premiere of this. I'm going to invite you out to watch this, and you're going to say, oh, man, I'm so glad you have this. Because once you go, it's like going to a 4K TV. Once you've seen it, it's hard to go back. So I'm going to invite you out so you can come take a look at this.
I love it. Dr. Miles K. Davis is our guest. Before I cut you loose here. Tell us what did you learn in the Navy? What did you learn there that you carry with you?
Discipline. Discipline, because of the nature of what I was in. I also learned teamwork, but I also learned leadership, and that you have to make decisions and you have to be confident in your decisions. And so I worked in anti-submarine warfare. We had to be able to detect the Russian submarine before it launched a ballistic missile to the U.S. We had 80 seconds. It takes 80 seconds to launch that at that time from a Russian sub. We had 60 seconds to make a call, right or wrong. And then the final thing is perseverance. You have to keep on moving ahead. You don't quit. You don't stop. And you keep moving ahead. And quite frankly, that's what we're doing at Linfield. We're staying focused. We're moving ahead. That's what I hope that I brought to the situation. I hope that I'm not too hard. Of course, university is not the military, but there are life principles that are there. And one of those is that you got to keep moving ahead and do the things that you have to do. You have to be willing to make a call. A lot of people resist making decisions, John. You can't. That's the nature of your job as a leader. You have to make a decision. And when you make a decision, there are going to be people who disagree with you and there are people who agree with you. But you have to make a decision based upon the best information that you have, because you're ultimately responsible and held accountable for that.
You're so positive. You're so uplifting. And I'm telling you, I've got friends, and I've had days in this pandemic where I'm a little blue, or I'm going, gosh, I got to mentally get up for this radio show. You know, I'm sure that we all have those days, but when you have somebody in your position that is so positive, so uplifting, you're energizing, I'll take the energy you had in this interview. It'll carry me through the rest of the show. I appreciate you doing that, and I know your staff is benefiting from it.
Well, thank you, John. I'll tell you what, anytime you want to come to the dojo and beat up on stuff, that, you know, release that stress, we can work it out, John.
I love that. I love it. Thank you for making time for us.
No, thank you for this opportunity. You be well. Continue to do what you're doing. You're providing an important voice in the community. And just like, you know, I have to represent certain communities at times because of my pigmentation, you continue to represent those who have perfect heads and keep us moving forward, John. Okay?
Amen. All right. Amen. All right, thank you.
Dr. Miles K. Davis, Linfield University. Leave it here. You got the bald-faced truth statewide. Wow, what an interview. Dr. Miles K. Davis. Fantastic. They got a video board that is bigger than BYU, Boston College, and North Texas in the football stadium at Linfield University. 1,800 square feet. How big is your apartment, Alabama Adriana?
I have no idea, but I feel like it's a lot smaller than that.
1,800 square feet. That's go big or go home is... Dr. Miles K. Davis said, what a fantastic interview. I want your impressions. Alabama, Adriana, Judah, what'd you think?
That was a treat. Honestly, I think that's exactly what I needed on my last day. What he said about making decisions really, really hit home for me. That was just, it was great. His energy, his optimism, how he's planning for the future. I think that Linfield is in some great hands.
They've got to hang on to him. That's I had that thought as he was talking. I thought, you know, I'm sure he's happy at Linfield University. I'm sure, you know, he's just been there a few months. They have changed from college to university. They've got the football, you know, investing in the football program. But you can tell he cares about students, cares about health. Talked about sort of that wellness. You know, you can't, you know, he talked about being healthy and being able to help people around you. It's sort of the put your oxygen mask on first before you help the person next to you mentality on an airplane. Really impressed with him. Really impressed with his energy, his messaging, just authentic. And look, we bring university presidents on the show, and they're all kinds of different animals. They are. They're academics. They come from different backgrounds. I love his background with the Navy. I love his background where he talked about growing up and the education level of his parents. And Linfield University just made a fantastic hire with him. And what a treat to have him on the show. And we talk about Oregon State a lot on this show. And we talk about University of Portland and Portland State a little bit on this show. And we probably don't do a good enough job talking about the athletes at Linfield and Willamette and the small colleges, small private colleges across the state and the community colleges across the state. And the truth is, there are far more Oregonians who will be playing sports in community colleges and small colleges across the state than there will be in the major Division I universities that we always talk about. And those rosters that when you look across Linfield's rosters and Willamette's roster and the small colleges across Lewis and Clark and the colleges across the state and Pacific University. And we start looking at those rosters. It is filled with kids who have grown up in this state, who have gone to high school in this state. And as the good doctor said, are playing for the love of the game. Judah Newby, your impressions.
Well, it's hard for me to circle on one because, as you know, John, I'm a McMinnville native. I've spent a lot of time on the Linfield campus. My parents both went there, and I've grown up there my entire life. I grew up going to football games at Linfield College. I love the purple and white and the Wildcats. Brett Elliott, who was a backup quarterback to Alex Smith at the University of Utah before Elliott got hurt, he transferred to Linfield, won him a national title in 2005, and I will always remember that season. And that immediately hits an emotional tie with me. I love Linfield football. I went to a Division III school, a top 25 football program out in the Midwest. My brother went to a Northwest Conference university in Whitworth. I'm still going to get used to calling it Linfield University. That does not sound right to me right now because of all I've called it Linfield College my entire life, but I understand the move. And I'm so appreciative, Marcus Lattimore, that you had on the show. You know, highlighting Division III college football in our state is awesome at Lewis and Clark. Willamette's always been good. George Fox, building just beautiful football. They have a brand new football stadium that's just a couple years old, and you look, they have billboards all over the place here in Portland, yeah, recruiting to football. They're building it up. So I think Linfield, with the video board that they have as well, is kind of like countering that too. Fox is drawing a lot more students. Their university, of course, Linfield promoting themselves up to university too. Man, I am so proud of Linfield and the town of McMinnville, and I didn't think I'd necessarily say that after I left, but man, that was a great interview. Dr. Miles K. Davis knocked it out of the park. Go Cats.
That was terrific. It was a lot of fun to interview him. We'll have him back on. We'll talk more small colleges and other things. We've got great radio still ahead. Anna will join us in the 2 o'clock hour. A lot of your phone calls, and I've got a lot to say about Justin Herbert. He's got a bunch of touchdown passes. What he doesn't have is a win as an NFL starting quarterback. We'll talk about
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.